You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team.
Yo, Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join us every week to get in on the action. This is a daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. Here alone right now, but we did host a Spotify Green Room after the Dodgers loss yesterday, so that will be today's episode. Thankfully, Jeff is back, so you guys do not have to hear me the whole time. And yeah, that we talk about just the game, the upcoming Mets series, the Giants a little bit, and just how we feel about the Dodgers taking on the division. That was before the Giants ended up winning, and the Dodgers now 5 games back in the division, but I don't think too much of what we talked about changes with that anyways. But before all that, a quick reminder, subscribe or follow wherever it's your podcast. And when you get in your car, if you're at home, tell your smart device play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And now let's get into the green room.
I've missed you guys. First of all, Vince, thanks for holding down the fort the last week or so while I was out of town. I got home late last night, about 13 hours ago, and happy to be home and happy to be back talking Dodgers. I did watch every game while I was gone, but didn't get to talk Dodgers, and I've missed it.
Yeah, we definitely missed you. I definitely missed you. It was a lot easier with two segments if you're running solo, but when you get to the third segment, sometimes it was like, I'm just going to talk, and hopefully 8 minutes go by, and then I can end the episode.
well, good. full disclosure, I haven't listened to any of them yet, because it was enough Dodgers for me to try to watch the games while I was on a family vacation. I don't know if my wife would have stood for me also listening to podcasts. Yeah, so today's game kind of sucked, huh?
Yeah, it's one of those games that I put on par with the last two Friday games, the one against the Angels and the one against the Diamondbacks, where offense doesn't show up and they lose either by one run or an extra innings or whatever the case may be. Hopefully, like the other two times, the Giants also lose on the same day, so at least they don't lose any ground. But that's a lot to ask of the Rockies.
Yeah, it really is. I'm just hoping that, you know, the Giants are in the middle of a stretch right now where I think 10 out of their 13 games are against the D-backs and Rockies. But then they have to go back to play major league teams again. And, you know, I tweeted something about that yesterday, and one Giants fan took it the wrong way. I wasn't trying to discredit the Giants as a team. I'm just saying there might be a little bit of a hangover. And I wonder if it's going to be the same thing, having to go back to playing against real major league teams. So I wouldn't be surprised if once the Giants get through this stretch, if they have at least a mini slump. Because the fact is they haven't looked super great, even though they've continued to win. Some of that is, you know, good luck, you know, Brewers outfielders forgetting how to catch, Dodgers doing stupid things. And some of it is just, oh, we've been playing the D-backs and Rockies, so you don't actually have to be very good to win those games. And even that, I mean, they won a game the other night because Christian Walker made two errors in the ninth inning. And it's like, well, Christian Walker makes good plays against the Dodgers. What's the deal with that?
Yeah, it's just, you know, on their end, like I said, Gausman's been struggling. Their bullpen's giving up some big leads. They just were able to hang on, and mostly because they're playing bad teams. But I talked a little bit about the schedules the rest of the way for all three of the NOS teams and just kind of looking at them. And they all have somewhat similar schedules, except for the fact that the Giants and Padres play each other 10 times, I believe, before the year ends. So that's probably what's going to help end up deciding the division, as long as the Dodgers keep – I mean, if they keep taking 2 out of 3 every series, they'll be fine, assuming that, you know, the Giants are going to play all these good teams coming up.
Yeah, and then the Dodgers – they play the Brewers at the end of the season, the last series of the season, which I think probably works in their favor because hopefully the Brewers at that point are lining up their postseason rotation. So maybe the Dodgers – I know the Dodgers missed Burns last time. I think they faced Woodruff, but they missed Burns. And so, you know, maybe they'll miss them again. But hopefully by then the Dodgers will have taken control and it won't matter too much what happens in that last season or last series.
Yeah.
What's up, Joe Holt?
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Not too bad.
Welcome back, Jeff.
Thank you.
What Vince was talking about is kind of what I wanted to say. If the Dodgers have been winning 2 out of 3 pretty much for the last 2 weeks, if they continue to do that the rest of the season, the Giants would have to win 28 of their last 49 games to clinch. And they've got a tough schedule. 32 of the remaining 49 games are against playoff contenders, you know, Braves, yeah. Mets, teams like that.
The Padres. I do think the Dodgers are going to need to sprinkle in a sweep here and there, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's the nature of being down by 4.5 games. You have to not just keep pace, but play, you know, somewhat significantly better than the team you're chasing. But I still, you know, I don't think it's out of the question. And I, you know, I probably wouldn't bet money on it happening, but I think it's still the likely outcome that the Dodgers still win the division.
Last year in 60 games, they won over 70% of their games, so it's not impossible.
Yeah, another part is, I mean, they're still favored to win the NOS in some places. You know, I don't think people are completely sold on the Giants yet. And, you know, we're kind of sold on the Giants, but we're also sold on the fact that the Dodgers, you know, Mookie on the IL, Turner's supposed to play this weekend. So having 80-90% of what your starting lineup's supposed to be is definitely going to help. And then in September, they're going to get a bunch of arms who varying things. We don't know what we're going to get out of Cole Hamels. We don't know how strong Clayton Kershaw is going to return or when he's going to return. We don't know when Danny Duffy or how he's going to come back. But you would think that having those three arms would be upgrades over Quackenbush. And, well, Quackenbush is out now, but Brule and the other guys they've had on the roster.
Yeah, but those guys that they've had on the roster have been pitching pretty good.
Yeah, that's true.
So they may stick around. I hope they don't turn into pumpkins, but if they keep on pitching the way they've been pitching, they could become useful in September and October.
Yeah, I'm hoping this is Sal. I'm hoping Vesia can become the Brandon Morrow of 2021, and he hangs in there with the way he's pitching. He's been impressing me so far, last few outings.
Yeah, Vesia's look great. You know, obviously Bickford, you know, they've been getting a lot of contributions from their bullpen. It would be nice to, you know, this series, it was kind of lousy that they had 2 rain delays and then a scheduled bullpen game. So the bullpen had to work a lot harder this weekend or this week than they would have liked. But hopefully they can get back to, you know, getting long starts from Buehler and Scherzer and Julio and let the bullpen be more of a traditional, you know, 2 or 3 innings a game instead of 6 or 7 innings a game kind of bullpen.
What's the forecast in New York for the rain?
I don't know. I'll look it up right now.
Because if you would have told me before the series that Scherzer's game would have been shortened because of rain, and then we would have pitched Price and Mitchell White against a team that won 8 in a row and we still won 2 out of 3, I'd be very happy with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially, like I said, coming up against a team in the Phillies that have won 8 in a row. I did mention on, you know, some of the episodes that it was a 8 in a row against teams that either were struggling in the Mets or not good in the Pirates, but hey, the Dodgers have lost to teams like that and not recently as well. So they were coming in hot, and the Dodgers pretty much cooled them down. The bullpen shut them down basically the whole weekend. The starters were the only ones that gave up runs. So it's a good sign.
Yeah, it looks like New York weather is going to be cloudy every day, possibly some thunderstorms on Saturday. But it says isolated thunderstorms, so it shouldn't be so much that it would affect the games too much, hopefully. But yeah, it's... the Dodgers have not had good weather luck on the East Coast so far this year.
I hope Roberts watches the weather forecast and, you know, starts an opener in one of those games if it looks like it's going to be one of those, you know, rain delays.
Yeah. If that comes up, I'm sure it will. It seemed like with how David Price handled the delay, it seemed like they had talked about it and just decided, you know, because if every 15 or 20 minutes you go throw an inning worth of balls against the wall, you know, you're reducing your overall outing by a couple innings, but you know, they got 4 innings from David Price, which was pretty big yesterday. And so, but I assume, yeah, if it was a Buehler or Scherzer start this time, I think the Scherzer start weather the other day just kind of snuck up on everybody. But if it was a one of their guys they're expecting length from, I assume they'll keep a really close eye on the weather forecast.
Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. If you don't know that by now, you obviously don't listen to these ads or you haven't tried it for yourself. But yes, that's the case. Built Bars are the best. And they have a bunch of different flavors. All their bars are covered in chocolate. They're all very healthy for you. All full of protein, low calorie, low sugar, low carbs, all tasty, all healthy, whatever diet you're on. And like I said, a bunch of different flavors. Right now, they got a new flavor, peanut butter brownie. They got coconut almond, orange, strawberry, coconut, mint brownie, salted caramel, raspberry, double chocolate, cookies and cream, and cherry barcia. I recommend getting a mixed box if you want to try them all and see which one's your favorite, and then you can go from there deciding how you want it. Built Bar is also great. I don't know if you saw, but they are going to help out BYU walk-on football players. They're going to give them all scholarships and pay for their tuition in exchange for some advertisement. So that's pretty cool. So you can go to built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com.
Hey, I'm going to hop in here.
Hey, Justin, what's up, man?
Hey, welcome back. Vince, you've been doing great. Solo dolo, you've been doing just fine. You know, give yourself a little bit more credit. I think you've done a great job. I just want to make a comment on the what Vince would term the annoying series win, losing the last game. it's a bummer. I mean, I'm happy, kind of like Joe said. I mean, if you take all those factors in and said, hey, you know, Scherzer was going to get rained out and all this stuff, and you're still going to get 2 or 3, I think we would have taken it. But today still feels like a game. You got to have it. I mean, the bullpen, everybody pitched so well, and you'd think if we were going to only give up two, you know, if the Dodgers only were going to give up 2 runs on a bullpen day, I think we'd all take that 100% of the time. And it's just too bad the bats didn't come through. I was going to ask, was anybody I was disappointed, but were you guys disappointed that it didn't seem like Turner was an option at all to pinch hit there for McKinney in the ninth?
Well, we just saw on Twitter just in the last minute that Turner's out again tomorrow. He's unavailable tomorrow. So
okay.
The fact that he's not even – they already know he's unavailable tomorrow means it wasn't much chance. I think if the Dodgers had any sort of minor league position player depth right now, you know, they wouldn't have waited so long to put Mookie on the IL. Turner would probably be on the IL right now. But it's like, well – is Luke Raley really a better option, you know, or whoever?
Yeah.
Insert minor leaguer name here. But, I think McKinney, he's not a great hitter, but he's given them solid at bats. And it wasn't, you know, with Kennedy already having walked two guys or kind of walked two guys anyway and hit one guy, McKinney got a big walk earlier in the game. So it wasn't totally out of the question that McKinney could do something there. And he has had a big hit or two for the Dodgers. I don't know that the benefit of having a hobbled Justin Turner at the plate would have been that much better than a healthy Billy McKinney anyway, especially since you'd then have to play the bottom of the ninth, even if they did do something good. And they were already out of players. I mean, I think Chris Taylor was playing third base at that point. So, you know, they would have had to leave Justin Turner in the game, and that's at least part of it. You know, it's one thing to go up there and swing a bat, but having to play defense probably changes the equation a little bit.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I mean, also the information that he's not going to be available tomorrow. I just the way it originally sounded was it was like, hey, the Dodgers are known for being extra precautionary, right? And so it almost sounded like one of these things where it's like, well, you know, we'll give you the 3 days and then you'll come back. But we've seen situations before where sometimes, you know, if Robert says, hey, you're getting a day, you get a day, and it's really hard to move that needle at all. So, I mean, yeah, if he's really banged up that bad and he's not going to go tomorrow, then that's a little bit more understandable.
Yeah, for me, I mean, technically, like, could have pinch hit him and took him out and left Will Smith and Barnes in the game and had one of them play second or third, which not always ideal. Anyways, but the other part is, I don't know, I'm just not a fan of when these guys are hurt and they kind of just wait for it. And then now they're playing with the short bench and games like this come up. And while, you know, Turner missing, maybe let's just say he's ready by Saturday. Okay, then that's what, 5 days that he wouldn't have played. And 5 days that he did get to play, but I think everyone else is healthy enough right now, so where they could afford to just put him on the IL, get somebody up, and then play. If it is 5 days without him, he'll get healthier only anyway, so it's not like it's a big, big, big deal.
Yeah, but like I said, I think in a regular season that would be what they do, but, you know, unless they think Zach McKinstry has figured something out, which they apparently don't, I don't know that, you know, Gavin Lux probably isn't ready to come back yet, so I don't know that there's anybody really available in AAA right now who's literally any better than playing with a short bench, you know? Like, you're not going to send Zach Rex up there instead of Billy McKinney in that situation. So, like, I don't know. It's I think it has more to do with the fact that none of their AAA hitters can hit in the major leagues this year than much of anything else.
I don't know. Barnes was out. Smith pinch hit for Barnes. So, yeah, they wouldn't have been able to do anything.
Yeah. I obviously, there's things they can do. They could, you know, have, you know, if you really don't want Justin Turner in the game, you put, you know, I can't think of a pitcher on the Dodgers, Walker Buehler in right field, you know, something. There's things you can do, but there's definitely no ideal situation. And Turner definitely wasn't enough of a potential upgrade offensively to make it worth the defensive shenanigans they would have had to pull to make it work.
Yeah, so true.
So let's talk about that play at first base with the instant replay where Trey Turner looked like he was safe, and it was a really quick review. And usually when it's that quick, it's because they've seen something. And I'm not as confident as everybody else on Twitter was that he was really safe. You know, the screenshots that you see, you know, it's hard to tell, okay, was that actually the exact moment the ball hit the glove? Because, you know, in the screenshots that are going around, yeah, his foot is definitely off the bag. But I wonder if it was so quick just because they looked and saw, you know what, there's not going to be any angle that we can tell for sure that his foot was off the bag when the ball hit the glove. And for me, it goes back to the my longstanding premise that it's ridiculous that the call has to be clear and convincing or whatever the wording is, when really it ought to be, you know what, if we're 90% sure that the call was wrong, overturn it. But this 100% burden drives me crazy sometimes. And sometimes even when it helps the Dodgers, I still don't like it the way it is.
Yeah, so Robert said that they explained to him that the ball being within the glove, even if not fully caught, was the reason that Trey Turner was still called out at first base. So I guess once the ball was in the vicinity of the glove, he was still technically on the base.
Interesting. I wonder if that's if that's actually the rule.
I thought it had to be nestled in the like in the glove firmly to be considered.
Yeah, I don't know.
Catch.
And there's always, like, even in the rule book, it's kind of interesting that the rule for being safe at first base on a force play, it's actually stated two different ways in the official major league rules. In one place it says, you know, if he gets to the bag before the ball's caught, he's safe. And the other place it says if the ball's caught before he gets to the bag, he's out. And there's the old longstanding, you know, the phrase that's not in the rule book anywhere, if tie goes to the runner, that actually doesn't show up in the rule anywhere, but the rules don't actually address what happens in the case of a tie. And maybe that's because, you know, on a molecular level, maybe there's no such thing as a tie. You know, maybe we have to get existential about this rule book that, you know, there's always something's going to happen, you know, one atom sooner than the other thing. But whatever it is, it's like, I'm almost positive that that's not in the rules.
Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. With baseball season in full swing, you can track all the action at Bet Online. For tonight's game, Dodgers and Mets, Julio Urias versus Tyler, I think, McGill. The Dodgers are the favorites, and they are +110 to win by two runs. So you get some good value on the Dodgers if you think they're going to win by two runs, which is something I would recommend. They are -148 if you want to bet them straight up, so not so much there. The over-under set at 8.5. I'd probably go over. I think some weird things are going to happen on a Friday night in New York. I think the Dodgers' offense is going to explode. So if you're going to bet, I bet Dodgers -1.5 and bet the over 8.5 and go win some money. money. But if you don't want to do that, you can get all the latest news, odds, and info for not just MLB, but all the sports at BetOnline. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game. Head to BetOnline right now and use the promo code LOCKEDON for a welcome bonus on your first deposit of 50%. That's a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at BetOnline with the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Do you love to order fish when you go out to eat but never make it for yourself at home? I know that cooking quality restaurant-style dishes at home starts with high-quality seafood and simple techniques that you can get from Wild Alaskan Seafood. Wild Alaskan Company delivers high-quality, sustainably sourced, wild-caught seafood right to your door. The best part is that they are all individually wrapped portions, and they're all delicious. If for someone that lives alone, it's very clutch that they come in individually wrapped portions. That way, I don't have to make too much. If you're not someone that lives alone, then you can just order a little bit more. But you can order Wild Alaskan Company seafood every month. It's always wild, never farmed or modified, and contains no antibiotics. You can adjust, pause, or cancel your membership anytime, and they offer a 100% satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Get your nutrition from nature with Wild Alaskan Company. And right now, you can get $15 off your first box of premium seafood when you visit wildalaskancompany.com/MLB. That's wildalaskancompany.com/MLB for $15 off your first box. Once again, wildalaskancompany.com/MLB. Make sure to use our URL to let them know we sent you.
I think Joe and Oral were even talking on the broadcast about, you know, the Giants and run differential and the Dodgers. And they just mentioned, they said, hey, you know, the Dodgers are not winning these close ones. They're dropping the close ones, and the Giants are winning them. And I think today's game is probably a little easier. I mean, you're hopeful because of the great performance by the bullpen, and you're like, this is awesome, this is great, you know, and you got to give props to Jansen for going three straight clean inning appearances. And I think it's a little easier to take if, you know, if somehow the bullpen gave up five or six runs and you lose 5-6-1 versus these 2-1 games where you kind of look at these chances and these opportunities that you just couldn't convert.
You got my philosophy as a youth umpire. I umpired in youth leagues for about 15, 20 years. My philosophy is, if you depend on an umpire to make a call for you to win a game, you didn't deserve to win a game.
I agree with that.
Yeah, you didn't play well enough to win the game. You should have been, you know, more than a run ahead or a run behind or whatever. Yeah. If you're playing well.
Yeah, I agree. In general, I agree with that. I think I think that's definitely important in Little League, that because you want to teach these kids to go out and, you know, take personal responsibility and stuff. I do think that by the time you get to the major leagues, it's not unreasonable to expect umpires to get the calls right, you know, and you're playing against other major leaguers. And so in a game that ended 2-1, and, you know, Justin, your point about Pujols, what that misses is that was after the intentional walk to Max Muncy. What they should have had was one out for Muncy.
That's true.
You know, and that's where that's the big difference, because they just intentionally walked Muncy once first base was open. And so, you know, who knows what Muncy does there? It's not like Muncy tore the cover off the ball this series or anything. But, you know, I agree with your point, Joe, but also it really, really bugs me when umpires who are umpiring at the highest level don't get calls right, because your whole game planning thing is expecting, you know what, we're playing another major league team, we're throwing a bullpen game, it's probably going to be a close game. And so we need every instance to work, and that goes both ways. You know, the Joe Girardi, I thought, sounded like a baby in his post-game comments about, you know, he said, well, at least we know Ian Kennedy can get a five-out save, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, Joe, your point would say, well, maybe don't go to a full count and maybe put them away earlier in the bat. But, you know, there's also a legitimate gripe that I threw a pitch in the strike zone that the batter didn't swing at, and the umpire called it a ball. So, yeah, that's a legitimate gripe. And, you know, I've never been one to believe in blaming the umpires for anything. Blaming umpires, blaming referees, it's always bothered me, especially because for a lot of people, and, you know, Justin might appreciate this more, I feel like BYU fans are the worst at that. Just, you know, thinking everything is a foul in a BYU football game. You know, it's always thinking the refs are out to get them. I assume it's a religious persecution thing. I don't know. But, you know, I hate blaming the umpires, but I think umpires should be good at their jobs, especially, in the major leagues, I think they should get their calls right.
I wanted to maybe save it for Vince too, but you know, for if we're looking for some topics here, I know you guys have addressed this a few times, but I wanted to just talk about the extra innings situation for the Dodgers. And I had some thoughts. Like, I'm a big fan and I'm a big proponent of, like, if the games are close, right, you do want to use, you know, your best available pitchers first or the best guys for the matchups first. And then hopefully the bats can rescue you and you put some distance between the other team or you take the lead or something like that. But there's also, I think, something to be said with, you know, in essence, a new game or new rules with this runner on second. You might find yourself in a situation where it's like, well, you know, maybe you want to use your third or your fourth best option in the seventh or the eighth or the ninth that might allow a base runner or two, but not allow three or four and allow a run. In essence, where when you get into that 10th inning, it's almost like you need a bullet that is maybe like a top three or top four bullet because you are trying to not allow a runner at all or not allow, like, as soon as you get that one hit, you kind of have to assume that run's going to score. So I don't know if you're following that logic at all, but I was just thinking about that. It seems like, you know, by the time, and you guys have talked about this, by the time the Dodgers get to extras, usually most of their best bullets are spent. And I'm thinking, like, at least just for that 10th inning, if you have someone that gives you a chance for that clean inning, great. And then after that, it's kind of like, well, all bets are off. You know, we've burned through all our arms. But I think there's something to be said for a thought of, hey, we're going to, you know, maybe use not our best arm in the eighth or the ninth. And, you know, if it's still tied, then we have that person available for the 10th. But I also understand the counter argument there. It's like you may lose the game in regulation or in the normal nine innings, and you may not even get to that 10th.
Yeah. And the one place that I think I would agree with you is if you specifically have a pitcher who you think is better with runners on base, you know, maybe saving him for extra innings, you know, in general. But before, back when baseball was baseball and we didn't have made up stupid different rules that we played by in extra innings, I thought my philosophy was use your best pitchers in order. If it's a game you have to win, you know, because you got to get to the extra innings before you can win in the extra innings. But now with the made up stupid rules, I mean, if you do have a guy who gets more strikeouts, then he's a better option in the 10th inning. Mm-hmm. And maybe use a guy who is more likely to not even giving up hits, but just, you know, Garrett Clevenger has three or four extra inning losses this year because Garrett Clevenger isn't getting strikeouts when he needs to. And so a situation like that where, yeah, you know, I – absolutely. The last extra inning game the Dodgers lost, I absolutely would have gone with Vesia over Clevenger in that situation because Vesia is more likely to get strikeouts. And when you have the go-ahead run on second base starting the inning, you know, a strikeout is a big deal, getting to one out, because then even a productive out isn't helpful if you get a strikeout on the first guy, next guy grounds out to second, moves the guy to third. Well, still, they need a hit to win. You know, I do still think that the main solution for the Dodgers' extra inning woes is to hit better, both in extra innings and before they get to extra innings, so they would, you know, not get to extra innings as often and, you know, get those hits. The fact is, when they're losing, it's usually because the other team is getting hits. They haven't had a situation where they lost a game because the guy came in and, okay, first guy sack bunted into third, and then they scored on a sack fly. You know, they're coming in and the Dodgers pitchers are giving up hits. And that's what's winning these games for the other teams in extra innings. And that's, I think, the solution is for the Dodgers to get more of those hits so that they can win games, because winning games is more fun than losing games.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. It's always a tricky line. I do think in the past, not so much this year, I do think in the past Roberts has gotten a little too happy with switching out pitchers earlier in the game, and then it ended up biting them later in the game. I think he's done a better job of that, probably more so because of the three batter rule being another year implemented and him trusting some more guys, but also just him kind of learning, like, hey, maybe sometimes you do need to do that. But I mean, there's times where they've had Jansen, who was theoretically one of their better relievers, and he gives up a hit as well. And you kind of know Jansen might give up a hit or a runner when he comes in, but you're still not counting on that to happen all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, there's I wish there were easy answers, but I do think that maybe just thinking about the kind of like my thought on Cody Bellinger when they, you know, it's probably changed now because of Mookie's injury, but they had said that Cody would not be starting as much against left-handed pitchers. And we've talked about this before that, like, I'd rather have them look at the type of pitcher than the hand that the pitcher throws with, because it's not necessarily lefties that Cody struggled against. It's guys with good high fastballs, you know, good four seamers. And it's kind of that same mindset of don't look at, you know, the quality of the pitcher, but the kind of outs that the pitcher gets. And I think there might be something there in their extra inning approach of going after trying to use pitchers who get certain types of outs. But I also think if there was an easy answer, they probably would have figured that out by now. I guess we could talk a little bit about the upcoming Mets series. Yeah, it is kind of nice. The Dodgers basically, you know, DeGrom is out, which is good for the Dodgers. I wish he was going to be back by the time the Giants played the Mets, but I don't think he will be. But they get I know it's Taijuan Walker in the second game and Carlos Carrasco in the third game. Walker has been really bad lately. Carrasco has not been good at all this season. And, it's that Tyler McGill guy in the first game who, you know, might be the kind of guy that the Dodgers struggle against because he's not very good. But hopefully they can put a pounding on him. And it seems like the Dodgers should be favored in all three of these games based on the pitching matchups and the quality of the teams.
Yeah, it's one of those series where they got their three big guys going and they should get at least six innings from all those guys. Bullpen should be somewhat rested. And then offensively, like I said, even down Mookie and Turner, this offense is still pretty strong, 1-8, with quality major league players, or at least 1-7 at the very least. So it's one of those, they just got to go out and do it. And as we've seen in the past, sometimes they don't always go out and do it.
Yeah, but hopefully they will. The Mets have been struggling lately. That probably means the Mets are maybe motivated to, you know, they're down to third place in their division now. So maybe they come in extra motivated, but hopefully the Dodgers get a somewhat demoralized Mets and pound them. And that gets the Mets motivated to play the Giants.
That's the ideal situation. The Dodgers, Giants, and I believe Padres, when I was looking, they all played a lot of the NL East teams, which is kind of funny that the two teams with the two divisions with the best races and closest races are all going to be beating up on each other here in the next few months. As long as the Dodgers do most of the beating up, I don't really have a problem.
What's up, Sal?
Yeah, I guess just one parting comment, or at least for me, would be that it's been really fun watching Trey Turner. And speed does make a difference, and he makes things happen when he's standing on first. And same as what we've seen when we've got a healthy Mookie, which I'm not sure if we're going to get for the rest of this year. But basically same kind of baseball, just making a difference just from that speed.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't really gotten to talk about Trey Turner yet because his whole Dodger career has come while I've been out of town, basically. So, he is fun to watch. That slide, I know it got a lot of that slide the other night kind of pretty quickly went from, you know, kind of like Who Let the Dogs Out, how it was the best song ever. And then really quickly, it was like, oh, my gosh, this song again. Maybe you're too young to remember that phenomenon, Vince. You were what, 10 years old when Who Let the Dogs?
Yeah, so. I didn't realize the new element to the situation because I probably love that song longer than most adults did.
Yeah, and the other one for me was Thrift Shop by what's his name?
Oh yeah, that one.
Yeah, you know, I liked it a lot at first, and that the Trey Turner slide was kind of like that. It's like, okay, this got overplayed pretty quick, but if you can back away from that and recognize that just as Thrift Shop and Who Let the Dogs Out are both actually still great songs, that slide was really, really awesome, and it does show, like, you know. The things that I liked about it was it actually shows athletic ability. And so it's exciting. In addition to being cool looking, it's exciting just to have a player like that on the Dodgers. Like, you guys can't see this cause it's audio, but I'm like waving my arms in the air as I'm saying this. That's how excited I am about having Trey Turner and his fastness.
All right, that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for those who joined the Spotify Green Room. Make sure to download the Spotify Green Room app and join us every week to get in on the action and hear yourself on the podcast if you want. Make sure to follow or subscribe Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcast. Make sure to tell your friends and family, coworkers, anyone in your life that's a Dodger fan. Make sure to follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. You can always call and leave us a voicemail or send us a text at 323-863-5625. Or you can send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one. Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag wherever you get podcasts.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all hard. All heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!